From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Minister to attend virtual Asian ministerial meeting. COVID-19 task force volunteers focusing on helping medical workers. Now the news in details. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will attend a series of the 53rd ministerial meetings virtually from 9 to 12 of September 2020. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said in a teleconference in Jakarta on Friday, September 4th, that at the meeting, that the Asian foreign ministers would agree to maintain political and economic stability.
Dalam rangkaian pertemuan ASEAN ini, beberapa outcome documents direncanakan akan diadopsi.
In this series of Asian meetings, several documents are planned to be adopted, including a joint communique with the 53rd Asian foreign ministers, which essentially explains the commitment of Asian foreign ministers to maintain regional political and economic stability, then ratification of an action plan between Asian and dialogue partners, as well as several other results documents which are still being negotiated. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi further said that in the Asian ministerial meeting, there will be at least 19 meetings that will be held virtually and will be chaired by Vietnamese Foreign Minister Pham Binh Minh as the chair of ASEAN in 2020. Retno added on the sidelines of the meeting, the Asian foreign ministers will attend several meetings, including the dialogue on strengthening the role of women for sustainable peace and security. Volunteers participating in COVID-19 handling efforts in the country are focusing on three areas, including providing the assistance to medical workers. Head of the Volunteers Coordination for the COVID-19 Handling Task Force, Andre Rahadian, escorted by Antara, said that the first focus is providing the assistance to medical workers. The second focus is to recruit and place volunteers, both medical and non-medical personnel, to various areas that require assistance. Finally, the COVID-19 Handling Task Force volunteers are coordinating with areas in relation to behavior change and health management. In the last 5 months, the COVID-19 Task Force has been collaborating with other organizations, including the Scouts, KNPI, PBNU, and Muhammadiyah for enlisting volunteers. The work carried out by volunteers ranges from distributing personal protective equipment, which includes masks, hand sanitizers, hazmat suits, disinfectant spraying efforts, and distributing basic necessities. Sri Veera Chandra, Adara Relief International Chairperson, highlighted the need for Indonesia to vociferously reject Israeli occupation of the Palestinian land since it could help determine the future of Palestine. The role of the media was crucial in disseminating information on the situation in Palestine and Indonesia's concern over the fate of Palestinians. To support the Palestinian fight for independence, Adara has set up 22 Palestinian care communities and become the founder of a network community organizations that are currently members of the Indonesian Women's Coalition for Al-Quds and Palestine. Of the 11 Palestinian assistance programs presented by Chandra, donations of 9 Help Palestine programs were distributed, in collaboration with several partners NGOs. The assistance was provided to beneficiaries in the five regions of Al-Quds, West Bank, Territory 48, Gaza, and refugee camps in Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, and Jordan. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on Saturday toured areas hit by a typhoon, replaced a local provincial party committee chairman, and ordered Pyongyang officials to lead a recovery effort, state media reported on Sunday. The Korean Central News Agency KCNA said more than 1,000 houses were destroyed along the coastlines areas of South and North Hamgyong provinces, and not a few public buildings and farmlands were inundated. Kim led an enlarged executive policies committee's meeting on recovery efforts in the typhoon-hit area, focusing on detailed measures such as organization of building crews to be dispatched to the areas, design and material transport. North Korea's ruling party has called for punishment of official whose failure to follow order results in dozens of casualties during typhoons, the country's official party newspapers reported on Saturday. Australia's coronavirus hotspot state of Victoria is set to outline a plan on Sunday to gradually ease its strict lockdown, with infection rates declining more slowly than hoped. Victoria on Sunday reported 63 new COVID-19 infections and 5 deaths, down from a peak of 725 new cases on August 5th, shortly after the state imposed a 6-week hard lockdown in its capital, Melbourne. At the time is set and end date of September 13th. The state has been the epicenter of Australia's second wave of the novel coronavirus, now accounting for about 75% of the country's 26,270 cases and 90% of its 753 deaths. Businesses were locked down from March to May before briefly reopening, then faced tougher restrictions from August 2nd, which has resulted in thousands of job losses. Joe Biden's presidential campaign on Saturday added former Democratic primary rival Pete Buttigieg, along with senior officials who serve under President Barack Obama, to an expanded White House transition team. Biden added 4 new co-chairs to the team led by his longtime ally, Ted Kaufman, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, former Obama's economic advisor Jeffrey Jeans, Louisiana Representative Cedric Richmond, and his campaign advisor Anita Dunn. He also named Buttigieg, a military veteran and a former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, to the advisory board, together with former Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates and Susan Rice, National Security Advisor to Obama, who was on the shortlist to the Biden's running mate. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani bemoaned Iran's friends on Saturday for not standing up to the United States and breaking crippling sanctions during the COVID-19 pandemic. He also said that if the United States had a bit of humanitarian or brain, it would have lifted sanctions on Iran for the duration of the health crisis. Iran, with more than 380,000 registered cases and more than 22,000 deaths from the coronavirus, is one of the countries worst hit by the pandemic in the Middle East. Over the past months, since the coronavirus arrived in the country, no one came to help, Rouhani said in remarks broadcast live on Iranian state television. The United States has threatened to impose sanctions on whoever conducts business with Iran. The sanctions are part of the U.S. efforts to slash Iranian revenues after U.S. President Donald Trump withdrew in 2018 from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlights on Indonesian government response to the ban of Indonesian citizens to Malaysia. The Malaysian government will impose entry bans for citizens of Indonesia, India and the Philippines. This ban will take effect from September 7th. It was carried out to prevent imported cases of COVID-19 in Malaysia. The policy was announced by Minister of Defense Ismail Sabri Yaakob to reporters in a televised press conference on Tuesday. He said the Malaysian government will also monitor the situation in other countries and did not rule out the same ban being imposed on other countries experiencing a spike in COVID-19 cases. The Indonesian government has responded to the plan of banning Indonesian citizens from entering Malaysia. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Tengku Faizasyah said that the ministry had summoned the Malaysian ambassador to Indonesia, Zainal Abidin Bakar, last Wednesday to get clarity on the matter. The ambassador said that he would convey the result of the talks with the Indonesian Foreign Ministry to the Malaysian government. Ambassador Zainal Abidin Bakar has also informed the Indonesian government that this policy is temporary and will be reviewed every week. Meanwhile, Tengku Faizasyah said the government urged Indonesian citizens not to go abroad if not urgent. Indonesia again urged its citizens not to travel abroad except for very, very urgent matters and inevitable needs. But with the development in Malaysia, we will provide some kinds of notification through the travel advice mechanism owned by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Tengku Faizasyah said that overcoming the COVID-19 pandemic requires good cooperation and communication between countries. According to him, Indonesia and Malaysia are the founders and member countries of ASEAN, so that the spirit of ASEAN must be manifested in cooperation in handling COVID-19. Listener, that was this week's Spotlights. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Hello listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali diudara, tetap diudara.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voice of Indonesia in Today in History. I'll start from an event on September 6, 1968, where the independence of Swaziland happens. Swaziland is a small, landlocked country in Southern Africa. It is bordered with Mozambique to the northeast and South Africa to the north, west and south. In the past, Swaziland was a British protectorate. The region was controlled by Britain after winning the Anglo-Boer War in 1903. At that time, the small country was called Transvaal. It was only on September 6, 1968 that Britain gave independence to Swaziland so that they could stand as a sovereign kingdom. Let's move it on to September 6, 1996, where the Mandar Talaut bird is discovered. The Talaut Mandar bird can only be found on Karakelang Island in the Talaut Island District, North Sulawesi, which is the northernmost region of Indonesia and directly borders the Philippines. The Talaut Mandar bird was discovered on September 6, 1996. After careful observation and research, the Talaut Mandar bird turned out to be a new bird species for the world of science. In a bird science journal, Forktail, the discovery was the broadcast worldwide, and the bird was then given the scientific name Gymnocrax talaudensis. I'll end today in history with September 6, 2007, where Operation Orchard happened. Operation Orchard is an Israeli air raid against an agricultural research center in Deir ez-Zor, northern Syria, past midnight September 6, 2007. According to the news, this attack was carried out by 69th Squadron of the Israeli Air Force, IAF, which consists of F-151, F-16, and an Elint aircraft, which... there are 8 planes in total. The fighters were equipped with AGM-65 Maverick missiles, 250 kilograms of bombs, and external oil tanks. CNN initially reported that this attack targeted Hezbollah militants. On September 13, The Washington Post stated that U.S. and Israeli intelligence had obtained information about a nuclear facility being built in Syria with North Korean assistance, and that this target was claimed to be a facility capable of making unconventional weapons. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Yang kami ang kasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Kepada tanah air dan bangsa,
semboyan kami angkasawan.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Hector Gonzalez in Spain. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish program. Hello, Mr. Hector Gonzalez. How are you? Thank you very much for your email and reception report. Your email has been forwarded to Spanish section. Please be patient for a reply. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
Berharap kau terakhir, nyatanya telah berakhir. Ku hapus semua, ternyata segitu saja. Won't you notice? Yes, I got this. Oh, won't you notice? I find my own bliss. Hapus semua, ternyata segitu saja.
You the one, boy, I thought that you're the one. Got me feeling so crazy, every day you on my mind. Then it's over and we're done, but this time I won't cry. But why? Well, cause I feel just fine. I remember the first time we met. You were so good to me and like nobody else. But then you got me on lock, then the party ends. I'm always like, where the hell did this fella win? Man, it's okay though. Boys always come and go, they're just like seasons. And I'm Cleopatra, but he ain't my Caesar. So when you left, is what I gotta say though. Ay.
Won't shed no tears. Yes, I got this. Won't shed no tears. I'll find my own bliss.
Fly high, come high.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on government encourage application of sports signs. The Ministry of Youth and Sports, ahead of the commemoration of National Sports Day, which falls on September 9th, encourage elements of Indonesian sports to maximize the application of sports science in the country. One of the efforts made by the government is holding the sports science and technology workshops in Bekasi, West Java on Tuesday, involving national sport activists and fields. The special staff of the Minister for Sport Development and Achievement, Mahfudin Nigara, in the event emphasized the importance of sports science in the success of sports achievements in Indonesia. He said that all training programs for athletes in Indonesia must have a strong sports science foundation. All must use data, including sports science, so that achievement can be measured and planned properly. Several issues surface in this activity, such as the use of biomechanical technology to analyze the ability to move, the study of sport medicine to accelerate psychological abilities, and the use of appropriate test instruments for athletes. Sports science must be applied to develop and improve sport achievement. There are several reasons. First, sports science is able to predict and compare the result of the test first. Professor Hari Setiono of the State University of Surabaya said, stakeholders should not be inverted in carrying out sport activities. It must be test first, then compile a program, not the other way around. Second, sports science is able to monitor the result of the training that has been done. Third, it can be used as a decision maker. Fourth, it can be used to identify talent and target determination. And finally, fifth, as a material to provide motivations. Research is also very much needed for the development of sports science and collaboration from various research institutions so that it can be applied appropriately as soon as possible. Meanwhile, Octavianus Matakup from the Jakarta State University explained that sports science has actually been discussed since 1980s era, even echoed in 1990, but it is still a sporadic issue. He saw that the result of the Asian Games and the previous SEA Games were good because there were several sports that continuously applied sports science. Through these activities, the government hopes that sports science can be more down-to-earth and easy to apply. The Ministry of Youth and Sport also encouraged more studies in the fields of sports to be distributed to the sport community throughout Indonesia. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Hello, listener of Radio Republik Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Now we will reply an email from our listener, Muhammad Rizky Ramadhani in Palu, Central Sulawesi Province. He is a student who listens to Voice of Indonesia through frequency 3325 kHz. Hi Rizky, thank you for your email that you sent to us, Voice of Indonesia, and thank you for monitoring our broadcast. Would you please provide information about what program you listen to, the date and time, so that we can provide verification via the QSL card? Once again, thank you. Special for you, we will play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Matamu, bibirmu. Berhenti membayangkan dirimu, senyummu, manjamu, terus saja buat aku memikirkan dirimu.
Kau baru berlalu hadapanku dan menatapku. Oh, kau tersenyum ayu, lidahku keluh hanya membisu. Ku tahu ku mampu buat kau jatuh di pelukanku. Ku yakin ku sanggup buat kau takjub pada diriku. Matamu, bibirmu membuatku tak berhenti membayangkan dirimu. Buatku tak bersenang. Terus saja buat aku memikirkan dirimu. Oh, tapi kali ini aku merasakan hal yang baru. Ku jadi ragu dan malu padamu. Bibirmu membuatku tak berhenti membayangkan dirimu.
Membayangkan dirimu.
Senyummu, manjamu, terus saja buat aku memikirkan dirimu.
Dirimu, oh dirimu.
Suara dan parasmu,
senyuman manjamu.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will invite you to enjoy the beauty of Saleh Bay on the island of Sumbawa. Administratively, Teluk Saleh or Saleh Bay is located in three districts, namely Sumbawa, Dompu, and Bima. This is because the bay covers a fairly large area. To reach Teluk Saleh, you can go by land to the coastal area in one of these districts or directly go there by boat. Take the land route, you can start from Pototano Port, which connects Lombok Island and Sumbawa Island. You can use public transportation like a bus or other transportation mode that takes you to one of the three districts. If your route doesn't reach the Teluk Saleh area, you can connect it by motorcycle taxi. If you cross the sea route, the journey will be longer. Those who use this route are usually tourists who make visit to various beaches and islands, such as Bali and Lombok. The cost incurred if you pass by sea will indeed be more expensive. Therefore, if you just want to enjoy the panoramic views of the Teluk Saleh, you should just use the land route. If you want to explore the water area or look for diving spots, you can rent a boat on the beach. The amazing biodiversity makes tourists who come cannot leave out diving activities there. or snorkeling if you cannot dive. The Lux Aquaria has also been named a World Aquarium by the Indonesian Institute of Sciences. You can find various types of fish ranging from groupers, mackerel, snappers, shellfish, to even whales in this Saleh Bay. Besides that, another interesting thing that you can also find here is the presence of dancing dolphins. Around the Lux Aquaria, there are no hotels or inns that you can stay in while in Saleh Bay, but you can replace them by setting up tents on the edge of the beach. That way, you can be closer to nature and more familiar with the atmosphere of Saleh Bay. Especially at night, you can enjoy the stars in the sky shining on the beach. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder that introduces the beauty of Saleh Bay on the island of Sumbawa. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Indonesian Wonder.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we will reply an email from our listener, Srinivasa Raju in India. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Your reception report on our broadcast is very detailed. Thank you. Listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play another beautiful song. Happy listening.
Kita tak lagi satu, tapi saling merindu. Meskipun tak bersama, ku masih rasakan sinyal cintamu. Firasatku berkata, kau merasakan yang sama, kasihku. Katakanlah saja bila, bila kau masih mencinta. Buat apa kau berdusta, katakannya sejujurnya. Diriku pun menginginkan semua seperti dahulu kala. Mungkinkah cinta lama kita bersama?
Jujurnya want you back now. Back now, I ain't never gonna back down. Back down, me and you, it's a rap now. Baby, I can be your rock, smack down. You're the champ in my heart like Pacquiao. And I will always be the truth, facts now. Hey.
Katakanlah saja bila
bila kau masih mencinta.
Buat apa kau berdusta?
Katakannya sejujurnya.
Jangan kau ragu. Katakanlah saja bila
bila kau masih mencinta.
Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany today. Today's edition is about Pindad and Hejo Techno introduced smokeless waste destroyer. PT Pindad, which is a state-owned enterprise, and PT Top Techno Indo company Hejo Techno develop a waste destruction tools with smokeless incinerator technology. The product is called Stongta X Pindad. PT Pindad's Industrial Product Business Director Harry Hariswan, in his statement on Friday, September 4, 2020, as quoted by Tempo.co, said that Stongta X Pindad is part of an innovative solution for environmentally friendly waste management. Products aims to be waste residue processors, namely the residue of waste selections that cannot be reused. Stongta is claimed to be an environmentally friendly incinerator that does not produce smoke and other harmful substances because it has passed double burner combustions, filters, and smoke treatment. The stove system is claimed to be efficient in fuel use. Garbage burning can be carried out continuously because it does not use the combustion chamber's door opening system like other incinerator products. Stongta's burning temperature ranges from 800 to 1200 degrees Celsius, which is claimed to be able to destroy all types of dry and wet waste. The resulting combustions remains 5% of the initial volume of waste. Stongta also has a compact design, small size, and is easy to move because it has an independent power source. X Pindad was inaugurated by the Governor of West Java, Ridwan Kamil, at Pakuan State Building on Thursday, September 3, 2020. According to the Governor of West Java, this product already has an environmentally friendly certificate and can manage about 2 tons of waste per day. Ridwan Kamil said that Stongta can be used at the end of the waste sorting and processing, specifically for waste that has no economic value. Waste processing starts from the waste bank, the waste that cannot be recycled or used as fertilizer will be processed using a Stungta machine. Well, listener, that was Miscellany today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz on www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Listener's Mailbag.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, we will present you a song, Jadi Milikku from Smash. In early January 2020, the boy band group Smash released a single entitled Jadi Milikku. In this single, Smash collaborated with Oom Leo, a member of the electronic pop group Goodnight Electric. The process of creating the song Jadi Milikku, Smash and Oom Leo collaborated with a trio of songwriters, namely Lale, Ilman, and Nino. The lyrics of the song Jadi Milikku is about the romance of a teenager who wants his lover back to him again. With a cheerful pop nuance, this song is special with Oom Leo's touch of a synthesizer. Well, listener, here is the song Jadi Milikku by Smash and Oom Leo.
Indonesia.
Sun in my ray, you're that twinkle in my eye. Oh, I will. wish I'd find you sooner so that I can love you longer.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.